So throughout the retreat, from the first day till yesterday, Saraji was explaining Pamada and Appamada from both theory and practice. And yesterday, Saraji had finished about Pamada and Appamada. There are many things to be explained about Pamada and Appamada. During the 45 years of Buddha's enlightenment, during these 45 years, all the teachings are included in Pamada and Appamada. And if everything was to be explained, it will be very lengthy. So Saraji explained in brief. And today Saraji will start to answer some of the questions by the yogis. Before Saraji answers, Saraji will also like to ask the yogis some questions. And yogis, please make ready to answer what you think and how you want to answer it. And Saraji says every time he comes, yogis have been asking him questions. So now, Xiaoro will ask questions first.
비자면 뭐라?
So will you answer? Xiaoro asked. 일단 난 좀 넘치 밤에 옆이야.
보이야로 전야가 사 휴일이 자고 강이 가고는 못 미봐.
So
애들이 빈탄에 미고는 바이네 밤만 비어내고.
Saraji said he will not ask question, not to cause you headache or to make you sweat even from the armpits. But it may be tougher than that. In order that the yogis should be able to practice Satipatthana meditation, in order that all the beings be able to practice, Buddha came into existence, and Buddha taught from what Buddha knew with Sabbanyutta Jnana, omniscient knowledge, with great compassion. That was 2,500 years ago in Jambudvipa, which is now called India. And in the Buddha gave teachings. And in the park owned by the Malla kings, Buddha attained Parinibbana. When Buddha attained Parinibbana, it can be said that Buddha no longer lives. So the question is, if it is possible to keep Buddha alive, and how or if one can keep Buddha alive, and if there is a way how to keep Buddha alive, and is there any chance to be paying respect to the living Buddha? And by paying respect to the living Buddha, what will be the benefits? And Saraji will discuss on that. So Saraji asks, does the audience here want to pay respect to the living Buddha? What is your view? Pujamarepya. So Saraji says he cannot make you see the living Buddha with his supernormal powers because he does not have any supernormal powers. Before Buddha attained Parinibbana, Buddha asked the monks to gather so that Buddha could give the last teachings. Just as the parents who want the true benefit for their sons and daughters, with compassion, the parents give teachings. And the parents, when parents see sons and daughters in good condition, they feel happy. And also when the sons and daughters are in good health, there can be upekkha, equanimity towards the sons and daughters. And before the parents pass away, they give their last sayings to their sons and daughters. In the same way, before Buddha attained Parinibbana, Buddha asked the monks to gather. And at that gathering, Venerable Ananda was not in the group. Thinking that his great friend, one of the great disciple, Venerable Sariputra, had already passed away, had already attained Nibbana, and also my teacher Buddha will attain pre-Nibbana within a short time. And Venerable Ananda felt that he will no longer have anyone to depend on, to rely on. So he felt a great loss. He felt grief and he was crying, holding the pillar. That's why he could not come in time to where the monks have gathered to listen to the Buddha's last teachings. So Buddha asked to call Venerable Ananda, and when Venerable Ananda got near the Buddha, Buddha gave teaching in order to soothe and in order to ease the Venerable Ananda's grief.
ရှင်နာနာဖျားထားမှုရောက်လာတဲ့အခါမှာဘုရားမြတ်စွာကစိတ္တအနန္တတဲ့ဒုက္ခဖြစ်ပုံတွေပေါ့ဒီငါဖျားဖို့ထားတယ်တဲ့မှာပြီးရှိဝေပြောကဒုက္ခချစ်ခင်မြတ်တို့အတော်သူပြီးတော့မြတ်တို့စီဟာအရာဝထုတို့နဲ့ကင်းကွာခြင်းဟာလည်းပဲ အနည်းဆုံးအခက်တဲ့ဒုက္ခပဲကြိုးပြီးတော့ငါဖျားဟောထားတာပဲတချိန်ကြာရင်ဒီလိုဖြစ်ရနိုင်မယ်ဆိုတာပေါ့လေကြိုးပြီးတော့ဟောထားတော့အဲ့ဒီအဖြစ်ကျုံလာပြီဆိုလို့ရှိရင်အစင်းသင်းဖြစ်ဖို့ရာအတွက်တရားတတိယဘုရားဘုရားကြီးတယ်ဆိုတာပေါ့လေငါဖျားဟောထားတယ်တဲ့အဲ့ဒီလိုကစပြီးတော့
When Venerable Ananda came near the Buddha, Buddha said that Buddha said how suffering can arise. Buddha said that there is suffering, piyehi vipayoga dukkha, meaning that there can be suffering, dukkha, when one has to part with loved ones, all the things that one really cherishes. So Buddha said that Buddha had already taught before that one can meet with suffering when one has to part with loved ones or things that one cherish most. And Buddha also taught that one can meet with such kind of suffering and one has to be prepared, one has to practice meditation so as to prepare oneself from that kind of event, from that kind of suffering. And one should be mindful. And Buddha gave teaching, and Buddha taught so as to soothe the grief of Venerable Ananda and also other Sangha. At that time, Venerable Ananda was a Sotapanna. Venerable Ananda had not reached the stage of Sakadagami yet. So Venerable Ananda could control the active kind of dosa, anger, but still as a Sotapanna, there was the passive kind of dosa, passive kind of anger, which was in the form of grief, sorrow, and parideva, lamentation. Knowing that Buddha gave teachings in order to ease the sorrow and grief, and Buddha taught Venerable Ananda, there may be thoughts arising that adita satuka hi pavasana, meaning that the teacher who had taught with karuna, compassion, with banya, knowledge, is going to pass away and we no longer have our teacher, nati no sata. We no longer have our teacher to guide us. No longer there will be our teacher to guide with compassion. So Buddha said such kind of thought may have arose in Venerable Ananda. And Buddha said, Nakho Panita Ananda Evandatapa, meaning that Ananda, please do not think like that. Please do not think in a definite way like that, that the teacher is going to pass away and we no longer have our teacher to guide us. Yoko Ananda Maya Dhammoja Vinayoja Desito Panyato So Mamajayena Sata, meaning that Buddha himself had guided, definite guidance, which is the Dhamma, the definite instruction and guidance, and Buddha had set discipline in order to keep the beings proper, which is Vinaya, discipline. So Buddha himself had taught the discipline to bring benefit for the beings, as well as set the discipline in order to keep the beings' behavior proper. And this Dhamma Vinaya, the doctrine and the discipline, will become the teacher when Buddha attained Parinibbana. So the Dhamma Vinaya will be the teacher to guide the beings on behalf of Buddha when Buddha has attained Parinibbana. So the commentator said that the Dhamma, the instruction in order to bring benefit of the beings and the vinaya, the doctrine, the discipline, in order to keep one's body, speech, and mind proper. So long as the Dhamma Vinaya, the doctrine and the discipline taught the Buddha, are still alive, it is said that Buddha's teaching, Pavacana, Buddha's teaching is not without a teacher who guides. So long as the Dhamma Vinaya is alive, it is said that the teacher who has guided has not passed away. Even though the body may have perished, but so long as the Dhamma Vinaya, the doctrine and the discipline, is alive, then Buddha's teachings have not been passed away. It is still maintained. It is still prolonged. So even though the body may have perished, but one has to ask, have we kept alive? Have we kept the Dhamma alive? Have we kept the Buddha alive? After Buddha attained Parinibbana, there was the first council where the Buddha's teachings have been divided into three. The first one is Vinaya, second one is Abhidhamma, and the third one is Suttanta. Buddha had taught Vinaya. Buddha has set the discipline with Mahakaruna, great compassion. Based on the great compassion, Buddha showed what was heinous bad deed, which are the heavy offenses, which are the lighter offenses, and Buddha showed which of the offenses could be cured and which of the offenses could not be cured. And Buddha showed what was right, what was wrong, what was offensive, what was not offensive. And Buddha analyzed in that way. And when Buddha had attained Parinibbana, the Vinaya, the discipline set by the Buddha, will be teaching the beings on behalf of the Buddha. Abhidhamma are the teachings showing cause and effect, the true nature. The Abhidhamma was taught with Panya, great knowledge, knowing the profound Dhamma in depth. And Buddha analyzed what was kusala, wholesome, what was akusala, unwholesome, what was abhyagata, indeterminate, neither wholesome nor unwholesome. And when Buddha attained enlightenment, Abhidhamma will teach the beings the cause and effect and the true nature on behalf of the Buddha. And Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, the 37 requisites of enlightenment, the four foundations of Satipatthana, four foundations of mindfulness, are included in Suttanta Pitaka. Suttanta Pitaka was taught by both knowledge, and compassion. So combining Sabbanyuta Jnana, omniscient knowledge, and Mahakaruna, great compassion, Buddha taught Suttanta. In the Suttanta, Buddha taught the Sabhava Dhamma, the true nature, and Buddha taught how one should practice so as to discern the true nature. And when Buddha attained enlightenment, Suddhanta will be teaching on behalf of Buddha. Dhamma is the definite guidance given in order to bring benefits. And whatever the object arises in one's self, one should be noting them. The fields of objects to be noted, kaya, the body, vedana, feelings and sensations, citta, consciousness, and the dhamma, the mental objects. When these objects are arising, one should be noting with aim and effort, and there should be sustained mindfulness. The mind should be calm and collected, and one will discern the nature. The guidance were given so as to bring benefit, and by practicing according to the guidance, one will gain benefit. Based on the guidance given, one has to practice effectively, and one can gain immediate benefit, such as purification of the mind, and also the mind will become strong, energized, and mature, and one will come to know cause and effect stage by stage. One develops knowledge, and finally, one can realize cessation, and one will reach one's goal. One has to practice in order to reach one goal until one becomes an arahat. Becoming an arahat, one has accomplished one's goal. There will not be any lacking. There will not be anything that is incomplete, but one's goal will be accomplished, there will be completion, and one will gain peace. By removing the inferiorities, one becomes uplifted. By following the guidance accurately, it is said that Dhamma is alive within the person who practices. And practicing the Dhamma, one's body, speech, and mind will be blameless. And there is the Vinaya, the discipline, what not to be done, what to be done. The discipline has been prescribed not to suppress the person, but the discipline has been prescribed so that one does not meet harm and suffering. The discipline has been prescribed for monks and also lay person so that the bodily behavior, verbal behavior will be blameless, pure, and proper. So one should practice the Dhamma and one should follow the Vinaya. By practicing the Dhamma, by following the Vinaya, it is said that Dhamma Vinaya is within oneself. Dhamma Vinaya will be alive in the person who practices the Dhamma, who follows the Vinaya. The Vinaya will keep oneself alive, and the Dhamma will make strong and energized. It is said that so long as the Dhamma Vinaya is alive, not only the theory, but also the practice, when this Dhamma Vinaya is alive, it is said that Buddha is still alive. So the Dhamma Vinaya is the teacher who is guiding the way.
ခဏခဏပြင်ပြီးတော့ဟိုကြည့်ဒီကြည့်တဲ့ကြည့်ရောယောဂီ
So Sarojji says,
ကမ္ဘာထောက်နိုင်ရင်အပြင်ထွက်နေ
There is a yogi who has been shifting this way, that way, moving around, looking here and there. And Sarojji says that if the yogi cannot listen to the Dhamma talk, it is better for that yogi to go out. Sarojji said that when the mother gives birth to a baby, in order to keep the baby alive, the mother should nurse the baby and keep the baby in moderate temperature and has to take care of the baby. So that the baby that the mother has given birth should be maintained by care, by feeding with metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion to keep the baby alive so that the baby will grow stronger and the baby will grow up. In the same way, in order that the monks and the lay should be alive, one should follow the discipline. If one cannot follow the discipline, then it is said that one is not alive. If monks cannot follow the discipline, the monk is said to be not alive. If lay person cannot follow the discipline, it is said that the lay person is not alive. Vinaya is the discipline so that the sasana will be alive. Just as the mother has to nurse the baby in order to keep the baby alive, the life that the mother has given at birth should be maintained by nursing, taking care, so that the baby will be alive. In the same way, monks should follow the discipline that has been prescribed for monks so that the monk's behavior will be proper. And by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one will be alive. Following the Vinaya, one will have life, one will be alive, and practicing the Dhamma, one is living. Discerning the Dhamma by practice, one is also said to be seeing the Buddha who guided the way. It is said that by practicing the Dhamma, keeping the Dhamma alive within oneself, Buddha is still living. When the Dhamma Vinaya is still alive, Dhamma Vinaya will be the teacher who guides. Buddha and the Dhamma Vinaya are the same. They are homogeneous. And when one can keep the Dhamma Vinaya alive, it is said that Buddha is living. There is still living Buddha. Buddha soothed the Venerable Ananda and the monks that the Vinaya has been taught by the Buddha himself in order to keep the beings proper. Suddhanda was also taught by the Buddha himself, and the Abhidhamma was taught by the Buddha himself, analyzing the Dhamma and the true nature. And when Buddha passed away, when Buddha attained Parinibbana, these teaching, Vinaya, Abhidhamma, and Suddhanda, will be teaching on behalf of the Buddha. Buddha's teachings, there are 84,000 of the Buddha's teachings. Dhamma Vinaya were taught so as to give guidance and also to prohibit what not to be done. When Buddha attained Parinibbana, the teachings of the Buddha, the 84,000, will be acting as the teacher. It is not said that when Buddha attained Parinibbana, there will be many teachers, but the teachings, which numbers 84,000, will be teaching on behalf of the Buddha. By following the discipline, one gains benefits, and the layperson, monks, should follow the discipline. And one should practice Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, the requisites of enlightenment. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one is said to be constructing Dhamma Jedi within oneself. Constructing Dhamma Jedi, there doesn't need to be bricks or sand or cement, but one can construct Dhamma Jedi within oneself by practicing Satipatthana meditation. Buddha himself constructed the Dhamma Jedi within himself, and Buddha guided the way how one should practice so as to construct the Dhamma Jedi. By practicing according to the guidance given and by following the discipline, one is constructing the Dhamma Jedi, and one should be noting the field of objects to be noted, Kaya, Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma. One should be mindful of bodily actions, sensations and feelings, consciousness, and mental objects. And whatever object that arises, one should be noting them with sustained mindfulness. And one is constructing Dhamma Jedi within oneself. The Dhamma Jedi will grow higher and higher, bigger and bigger, as one practices. Discerning Dukkha Sacca, the truth of suffering, one is also removing Smudaya Sacca, the origin of suffering, which is the craving, tanha. And also one will be removing Avijja, not knowing, knowing wrongly. Tanha, craving, will be removed. And one is also removing Upadana, clinging. So in this way, Kilesa Vata, round of defilements, Kama Vata, round of deeds, Vipaka Vata, round of resultants, will come to a stop. And one come to a stop momentarily. And one is developing Popa Maga Mega, the preliminary path, which is preliminary to Ariya Magga. So it is said that by discerning Dukkha Sacca, one also discerns the other three truths. And one is adorning, one is decorating the Dhamma Jedi by discerning the four truths. When one has finally realized Nibbana, by realizing Nibbana, Dukkha Sacca, the truth of suffering, is discerned. Smudaya Sacca, the truth of origin of suffering, is removed. And Magga Sacca, the truth of path, is also developed. In this way, one is adorning, decorating the Dhamma Jedi with the four truths at the moment of Logia, the mundane, and Logodara, supramundane. One is adorning, decorating the truth, decorating with the four truths, Logia and Logodara. And practicing Satipatthana meditation, one is also giving puja to the Jetiya, to the Jeti with a Dhamma garland. Standing firmly on Vipassana practice, one is respecting the Dhamma Jeti, adorning the Dhamma Jeti with the four truths, and also respecting by the Dhamma practice garland. And one is said to be keeping the Dhamma Vinaya alive. Keeping the Dhamma Vinaya alive, Buddha is also said to be alive. And there is living Buddha so long as the Dhamma Vinaya is alive. By practicing, one is said to be constructing the Dhamma Jeti within one's heart according to the teaching of the Buddha. And one should be practicing diligently so as to construct the Dhamma Jeti within one's heart. The first question is whether one needs to practice Samatha as a foundation of Vipassana. And there has been reference that Buddha also practiced Samatha before Buddha attained Parinibbana. And Saroji says there are two kinds of jhana. The first one is Samatha, practicing calm practice in order to gain supramundane absorption. And the other is practicing Vipassana. Practicing Vipassana, one does not have to give priority to, one does not give priority to gain Logia Samatha, supramundane absorption. Practicing Vipassana, one has to note the presently arising object with sustained mindfulness. And one should exert diligent effort in the practice so that there will be sustained mindfulness, sati, and kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. And in the practice of Vipassana, the three factors, diligent effort, mindfulness, and concentration, are present, and these three are chief, these three are the main of the consciousness when practicing Vipassana. Having these three factors present, viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, then the hindrances, nivaranas, cannot enter the mind. So these three factors, viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, is keeping the mind calm, away from the nivarana hindrances. And thus, they are said to be, they are called samatha, as they can calm, they can suppress the nivaranas. So they are logia jhana, supramundane absorption, by practicing samatha, calm practice. And the other one is practicing in the way of Vipassana. So there are two kinds. Logia samatha, practicing calm practice in order to gain mundane kind of jhana. It is called Aramanupa Nija, Aramanupa Nijana. One has to contemplate on the objects such as kasina. And when one practices vipassana, one has to note on the nama rupa phenomena so as to know the unique individual characteristics and also common characteristics, and it is vipassana jhana. So one has to know them apart. Buddha practiced Lokiya jhana, it is correct. Before Buddha attained pre-nibbana, Buddha also gained jhana, mundane jhana. The example is given here. When someone is going to pass away, someone greets the family as his or her last, at his or her last moment. In the same way, when Buddha was about to attain pre-nibbana, Buddha contemplated on the jhana in the way that it was the last time before Buddha attained enlightenment. It is not because it is necessary, but just a way of contemplating for the last time before Buddha attained pre-nibbana. So, in order to calm and suppress the kilesa defilements, one has to note on the presently arising object with aim and effort, with sustained mindfulness. And having viriya effort in the practice, and one can gain knowledge. During the Buddha's time, there were people who did not practice samatha at all, but who practices vipassana and became arahat. The ones who practice vipassana alone, the one who practice solely vipassana, is called sukha vipassana. Dry vipassana without practicing samatha as the foundation. Saraji gives an example. If one has to cross a river from this bank to the another bank of river, if one crosses by using a boat, then one can cross easily. But if the river is not too wide, one can swim by oneself, but it is not easy. But when the person is skillful in swimming, the person can use his or her energy to swim across the river. And Saraji says, practicing samatha is like staying at home. When staying at home, then the person can be in comfort. But if one thinks that it is better to go out to gain general knowledge, then the person goes out to learn many things. Going out, one can gain many things, one can learn many things, but it is tiresome. Practicing vipassana meditation is like learning, going outside. One can learn many things, but it is tiresome. Practicing samatha is compared to the person who stays at home. The person stays home, so the person is in comfort. But the person who stays home does not gain much knowledge. But vipassana, practicing vipassana, it is compared to the person who goes outside to learn, so that the person learns many things, but it is tiresome. Another way, When one fights with the enemy, there are two ways to fight. The first one is fighting with the defense. And the other one is fighting in combat, getting very close to the enemy. When one fights with the defense, it takes long. The battle takes long. And when one fights very close to the enemy, one can gain victory within a short time. So Saraji says, to gain one's goal in a short time, it is better to practice Vipassana alone without practicing Samatha as the foundation. And without practicing Samatha as the foundation and practicing Vipassana solely, one can gain victory, in a short time.
သူစီရလာတဲ့ထိုးနှစ်ချက်ဟာလည်းပဲအားမရှိတော့ဘူးခံစားသွားပြီအခုဝိပဿနာအထုတ်တယ်ဆိုတာလည်းပဲအဲ့ဒီလက်ဖွဲ့ထိုးသလိုပါပဲမြန်မြန်ပြီးလွယ်ပါတယ
် And Saraji gives another example of a boxing match. When one is competing in a boxing match, one has to give blows, one has to punch the opponent, and at the same time, one has to avoid blows from the opponent, and one has to look for opportunity to give the opponent a powerful blow. Giving the opponent a powerful blow, the opponent will become weaker and weaker, and finally, when the player gives the last blow to knock out the opponent, then the player gains victory. So practicing Vipassana is like playing boxing with the kilesa defilements, and one can gain victory faster by practicing Vipassana.
ပေါ်သမ ्या အောင်ဒီပေါ်စေဆွေးမြေစွာရှိမှနေတဲ့အခါမှာတခါတခါအားစိုက်မှုညော့ရဲလို့တတိလွတ်သွားလို့ရှိရင်စိတ်အဆူစီတွေပြဲပြီးတော့ရာဂဖြစ်စာစီရောက်သွားတဲ့အခါရာဂစိတ်တွေဖြစ်ဖို့အဲ့ဒီခိုက်တာမှာမှတ်လို့ရှိရင်ဒါစိတ်တဏှဝတ္တနာပါလို့ပြောပြီးပဲရှုနေရင်ကရာဂစိတ်တွေကုန်သွားတာလူလူတည်သွားတယ်ရှိတယ်ရှုမှတ်ပြီးတော့တည်ရတယ်ရှိတယ်ဝိတရကစိတ်တွေပဲတခါတခါမကျေနပ်ဆရာတွေးလို့မကျေနပ်ဘူးဒေါသနဲ့ရှင်တွဲပြီးတော့စိတ်တွေဖြစ်ဒါရှုမှတ်တယ်လေဒါတရုဆိုစိတ်တွေတည်ရတာပဲဒါစိတ်တုပ္ပတနာပဲမှရင်ကဒေါသတွေကင်းပြီးတော့တန်ရှင်းတဲ့စိတ်တွေဖြစ်ကြနေခဲ့တယ်ဒါလည်းတည်တယ်လေမှတ်တယ်လို့ပြီးတော့တွေးတဲ့သဘောတွေတခါတခါလည်းဖြစ်တယ်လေအဲ့ဒီစိတ်ကိုယောဂီရရှုတယ်လေသမောစိတ်တွေတည်တယ်လေနောက်အမတ်တွေဝင်လာအတိတွေဝင်လာတဲ့ခါကျအဲ့ဒီစိတ်တွေခုံပြီးတော့ဘောကင်းတဲ့စိတ်တွေဖြစ်နေတယ်ဒါလည်းတည်သွားတယ်လေတခါတခါငိုက်ပြီးတဲ့စိတ်တွေဖြစ်တယ်လေတာရှိမှတာစိတ္တနုဝတနာပါသူဖြစ်တဲ့ခိုက်တာမှာတခါတခါပြတ်လွန်းတဲ့စိတ်တွေဖြစ်တယ်လေတခါတခါယုံမတဲ့စိတ်တွေဖြစ်တယ်လေအဲဒါစိတ္တနုဝတနာတွေပေါ့ဒီမှာတတ်ထေရှားတာပဲတခါတမှာအခန္ဓာအတိုက်တာပွင့်တာဖြစ်တယ်လေ။နားထဲမှာအတန်ကတိုက်ခိုက်လာလို့ရှိရင်ကြာတိတဲ့စိတ်ဖြစ်တယ်လေ။ဒါစိတ်တဏှိဝတ္တနာပေါ့။ဒါဒီမှတ်တာပဲ။ကမ္ဘာဆိုတာစိတ်တွေဖြစ်နေတာပဲ။တနည်းအားဖြင့်အပြာကရစိတ်တွေဖြစ်နေတာပဲဒါ။ဒါသိနေတာပေါ့။ရှင်းရမယ်ဆိုအများကြီးရှင်းစရာတွေရှိပါတယ်ဒီမှာ။အဲ့ဒါကြီး။ဒီတော့ယသမိယသမိခဏိတန်တံယာယာစိတ်တံဘောတတိတန်တံစိတ်တံတန်တံစိတ်တံဆံလက်ခင်တော်စိတ်တံစိတ်တိစိတ်တံနုပါစီဝေဒတိနာမဆိုတာပြထားပြီ
When noting rising and falling of the abdomen with sustained mindfulness, at times There can be lack of mindfulness. When there is lack of mindfulness, the mind is no longer calm and concentrated. When the mind is no longer concentrated, when the mind goes on to raga inciting objects, there can be raga, lust arising. Noticing that raga is arising, noticing that the mind associating with raga arising, it is citta nupassana. And by noting it, the raga, lust, is removed. Knowing that the consciousness that is free from raga is arising, it is citta nupassana, knowing vita raga citta. At times when there is anger, hatred, one notices that the mind associating with dosa arises, and it is citta nupassana. And when one notices it, the mind becomes free from anger. Knowing that the mind being free from anger arises, it is citta nupassana. And at times, there can be distraction. Knowing that there is distraction, one, it is citta nupassana. And at times, there can be drowsiness. Knowing that the mind associating with sloth and torpor is arising, it is citta nupassana. And also, citta nupassana manifests when there is striker element, receptor element, and ignition element. When the sound wave strikes the ear, hearing consciousness takes place. Being mindful of the hearing consciousness, it is also citta nupassana. So being mindful of whatever consciousness that arises, it is citta nupassana. And when one gains higher knowledges, when one gains higher knowledge, there are times when there are no material objects to be noted, but there is only the noting mind. When one gets to the stage where there is only the noting mind, one has to be noting, knowing, knowing. And it is very gentle, it is very subtle at that stage. So citta nupassana manifests also at the higher knowledge when there is only the noting mind, having to note, knowing, knowing. If it has to be explained in detail, it will be very lengthy. The other question is that when one is practicing, there can always be expectation, wanting to be free from suffering, and how to practice with this expectation getting in the way. So Saroji said that when one is practicing Satipatthana meditation, one should have the objective of being free from suffering. And yogis are asked to note continuously, apart from their sleeping hours, yogis should be practicing continuously, noting the presently arising object, and the teacher giving guidance to note the presently arising object. When one can note the presently arising object effectively, when the noting mind is direct or face-to-face with the object, being able to note the object, samadhi and panya, concentration and wisdom will arise automatically. And the teachers are giving guidance not to let any thinking to arise, but the yogi is not practicing according to the guidance given. If he, she is thinking, wanting, and so on. So when practicing Satipatthana meditation, one has to follow the guidance accurately, precisely. During the course of practice, there should not be any expectation. One should not expect for Nibbana There should not be any thinking, wanting Nibbana. Wanting Nibbana, one has to note it, wanting, wanting. Wanting Nibbana, it can also be Tanha, craving. Wanting Nibbana can also be Kusala Chanda, wholesome will, or it can also be Tanha, craving. So craving for Nibbana, it is Kamma Chanda Nivarana. Wanting, craving for the peacefulness of Nibbana, one is having Tanha, craving. The third one is that during the Dhamma talk, Saraji mentions about criticism, about the Mahasi way of practice, that they are criticizing Mahasi way of practice is not according to the teachings of the Buddha. And this yogi wanted to know where the criticism is coming from, as many people are practicing this way and getting benefits. So Saraji says, rather than saying Mahasi way, it will be more correct to say that it is the way, the teachings of the Buddha in the taught in the tradition of the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji. So the late Venerable Mahasi Saraji was teaching according to the teachings of the Buddha, systematically from both theoretical and practical aspects. And Saraji has been hearing criticism about the Mahasi tradition, but Saraji does not analyze which from where the criticism are coming. But what Saraji meant to say was that for someone who has not practiced Satipatthana meditation according to the teaching of the Buddha in the way that Mahasi Saraji taught, and when this person has not practiced to gain benefit of the practice, then this person can be easily persuaded when he, she hears this from others, that from others, then the person can get confused. So Saraji meant to remind the yogis not to be like that, not to get confused when hearing this, hearing that from others. And Saraji does not mean to say where the criticisms are coming from or who was criticizing. So the other question is that according to Abhamadena Sampadeta, one has to control oneself not to be hurting others. So does it mean that it is better to choose a humble kind of job rather than high rank jobs? Meaning that being in a high rank position of a job, one needs to fire the colleagues that are lower rank in the person, and at times leaders of the nation has to give orders to an army and so on. Saraji says Saraji does not want to answer things that are not relating to the practice, but what Saraji answers is that if one cannot control oneself, one will be harming others, and it will mean that one is not compassionate towards others. It will be extreme, it will be selfish, there will be lack of metta and karuna, loving kindness and compassion. There will be anger, hatred, cruelty, and it is extreme. It is very important for monks and lay persons not to be extreme. And such kind of harmful things are based on bad behavior by body, speech, and mind, by lack of sila, morality. And it also shows that there is lack of practice in order to develop both the mind and the knowledge. So that's why it was said, Abhamadena Sambadita, and Saraji had explained already. And for general knowledge, Saraji talked about the Ashoka king in India. During that time, the king Ashoka was not a Buddhist. He was practicing a kind of belief that was striving in India. So as a young prince, as a young king, he wanted to conquer all the land in India. And in order to get all the land, in order to conquer, he tried in any means, both by force and by goodwill. He tried in any way he can. And also he fought in order to gain land, in order to become a conqueror. So he used the sword in fighting. And he also invaded Kalinga. And the king of Kalinga did not give up, fought back, and more than 100,000 people died, and many were left homeless. Because the king Ashoka wanted to be a conqueror, looking only for himself, being selfish, many people died. Many people had to die. Many innocent had to die. And when seeing the tragedy of many innocent people having to die, seeing that, the king Ashoka dropped his sword and then governed the country with a Dhamma. And he became a Buddhist. He also learned the Buddhist scriptures. He also paid respect and seek the guidance of monks. So based on his knowledge and the teachings he got, he governed the country. Before that, but before the king became a Buddhist, he was governing, he was fighting, using sword, army, and he was called Chandasoka, meaning a very cruel King Ashoka. And after the King Ashoka governed with the Dhamma, he was called Dhammasoka. And the way he governed the country was lawful and everything was smooth. People relied on him, people depended on him. So what Saraji said was that it is not only nowadays that people are using army, but also in the past, they were using army to fight to gain victory. But when Ashoka realized he became a Buddhist, he governed with the Dhamma, and things changed dramatically. There were peace. So also in the nowadays, people are using army for oneself. Being selfish, they are using army to fight and so on. So Saraji hopes that there will be king or the leaders of the nations who were like Ashoka, who changed, who govern with the Dhamma instead of the sword. And such things can happen only with the Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha. So the King Ashoka seek the guidance from the Arahats. He also practiced, he also learned the scriptures, the Pitaka, and he practiced according to the teaching. And he realized that having victory with the Dhamma is the real victory. Knowing that, he practiced the Dhamma Vinaya, and he realized the benefits of practicing the Dhamma Vinaya. He himself learned the Buddha's teachings, and he practiced according to the teachings. And also, the King Ashoka inscribed on the stones there, and also there are inscriptions by the King Ashoka on the teachings and advice, guidance, and the inscriptions of the King Ashoka has been translated to many languages. So what Yarol meant to say was, even the King Ashoka, who later became a Buddhist, who really practiced the Dhamma, one time he was a king who used army to become the conqueror. So nowadays, there will be many more who are using the army in order to become conqueror. But what Yaraji is hoping for is someone like Ashoka who will gain samvika, spiritual urgency, who will reform himself, herself, and practice the Dhamma Vinaya and seek the guidance of the wise, seek the guidance of monks according to the teachings. Knowing the benefits of Dhamma Vinaya, knowing the benefits, knowing the essence of the Dhamma Vinaya, one will not be using force or army anymore. And Saraji is hoping that kind of thing will happen. So today, Saraji had answered some of the questions briefly. It will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.